The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
The Eagles are at the podium at mandatory minicamp, and we also have some insight on the Carson Wentz contract details that were released today. This is all brought to you by the fine folks at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist, and today we have a special episode for you, as not only do we have Doug Peterson's two press conferences from Tuesday and Wednesday, but first, we have a segment for you that should help clarify some of the details you may have seen regarding the Carson Wentz extension. My co-host of the Kist and Solak show, Benjamin Solak, is one of the best minds we have here at BGN, not only with football in general, but when it comes to contracts. And he wrote a piece explaining the extension for BleedingGreenNation.com, and I also had him record some audio for us to explain it to you, gentle listener. Let's hear what Ben had to say on the matter.
Okay, we're chatting Carson Wentz extension because we got some more details today, which is Wednesday, on how this contract is constructed. And actually, as Albert Breer said, this is one of the most confusing contracts that we have. But it's not too tricky to figure out when you get into the nitty-gritty. So a six-year deal, as was originally reported, looking at somewhere in the $128 million, could be up to $144 million with escalators, right? The first item that concerned a lot of people was the option bonus. Field Yates of ESPN, his original report said that there was a team option for 2020 at $30 million. What does that mean? Well, what it's implied there is that you can't really guarantee an option. It's an option. It's not guaranteed. And so what gets put into place there, an option bonus is able to be prorated just like a signing bonus is. So Carson Wentz's signing bonus was $16.3 million. As we know, signing bonuses get prorated over the course of a contract. Carson Wentz's deal is 6 years, but the max you can prorate a bonus over is 5 years. And so while Carson's deal runs from 2019 to 2024, his signing bonus is only prorated from 2019 to 2023. So we can look at this option bonus, which starts in 2020, as like a secondary signing bonus. It's a way to prorate even more money, so you spread out the cap hit over multiple seasons, but it adds that sixth year of the contract. And so when we say it's a team option for 2020 at $30 million, what we're really saying here is we're going to spend $6 million on Carson in 2020, again in 2021, 2022, 2023, and 2024. And that's how you buy in to the 2024 year of the deal. That's kind of that actual option is really for 2024, if you want to think about it that way. The other thing that's really important about understanding the option bonus leans more into how the rest of Carson's salary was constructed. There's something called the 30% rule, which dictates that if you're going to build a contract that goes from one CBA into the next CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, which kind of defines a lot of the contract rules between the NFL and the NFLPA. Well, if you want to make a contract that spans two CBAs, there's a 30% rule in place to dictate that after the final capped year of one CBA, you can only increase salaries into the next years of the new CBA by 30% of that final capped year or less, which might sound confusing, but basically just think of it as there's a ceiling for how much bigger you can make a guy's contract into years into which we don't currently have a CBA, because otherwise there's a little bit too much room for random like money. There might be uncapped years, who really knows? And so it kind of keeps things under control in a time that's right now occluded. that 30% rule is used by calculating all of the base salary and all of the roster bonuses and the option bonus, $6 million over 5 years, but it doesn't include the signing bonus. And so breaking up that signing bonus was important to give Carson a bigger contract number in 2020 so the Eagles can continue to increase and make larger and larger figures in 2021 and beyond, because they have to pay Carson a big salary. And that 30% rule was going to limit how much they could pay him if they kept 2020 really, really low. And so that's kind of the function that option serves. And so if we look at it in effect, if we look at really what the cap hits look like, in 2019, Carson will have an $8.4 million cap hit. That comes from a very small base salary, the first chunk of his signing bonus on his new deal, and the last chunk of his old signing bonus. Remember, the old signing bonus when he signed his rookie deal is still prorated into 2019. Now, in 2020, we get bigger. It's an $18.7 million cap hit. And you might say, I thought the Eagles picked up the 2020 fifth-year option of Carson Wentz, right? First-round pick up his fifth-year option. They did, but you're allowed to negotiate extensions before that money becomes fully guaranteed at the beginning of the 2020 league year. You're allowed to negotiate extensions, and if you negotiate an extension, you can just wash that fifth year option away. So it vanishes. $18.7 million is the cap hit. Then we move into 2021, and this is where things get a lot bigger. Carson has, as it currently stands, a $3.9 million base salary that with incentives is expected to jump up to 15.4. So it's not 15.4 base, but rather it's 3.9 base with incentives of 11.5 million. And together that makes the 15.4. Grand total cap hit of around 34.7 million, 31.2 in 2022, 34.2 in 2023, and 32 flat in 2024. So Carson will cost more than $30 million per year from 2021 and beyond. But by that time, we expect there to be a lot more 30 million plus contracts in quarterbacks and in the league. Carson's kind of one of the first one in what we expect to be a long line of extensions. And so these numbers on expected to be bigger deal on bigger salary cap ceilings will look like progressively smaller and smaller deals. The last and most important note to remember is that 2020 is not an uncapped year. It is the final year of the CBA, but unlike 2009, 2010, which was the last time we transitioned to CBAs, there is no language in the current CBA for an uncapped year. So when 2010 went uncapped, 2020 will not. And so we should not anticipate Howie pouring a ton of money into 2020 because there's just no cap space. That's not the case. And actually, most teams are more conservative in uncapped years than they are in capped years. That's a basic look at Carson Wentz's contract. If you check out bleedinggreennation.com, you will see the whole post breaking down how the 30% rule works, how all the years are broken up in base salary, roster bonus, option bonus, and all that terminology. And you can see how our understanding of the contract is changing based off of the new reports that are coming out as the big guys further understand this complicated contract. So Carson Wentz is a new deal. He's in Philadelphia through 2024, and that is good news, folks.
Great information from Ben that cleared up a lot of questions that I had as these contracts. I mean, especially this one was making my head spin, let me tell you. So thank you, Ben, for that. And hopefully it gave some much needed clarity to the situation. Before we get to Doug's pressers, keep an eye out for a new fireside chat dropping into your feed later today. This was all about being a general manager, including thoughts from Dan Hatman of the Scouting Academy on Joe Douglas and how his departure for the Jets impacts the Eagles. We'll also have an eye on the enemy extra concern the Washington Redskins, where I talk with Mark Bullock of The Athletic to get his take on things. And of course, your regularly scheduled BGN radio will drop Friday morning. So all of that is coming up here soon at BGN. Make sure you're subscribed and also following BGN at BGN_radio. As always, 5-star ratings and friendly reviews are always appreciated. Keep those coming. All right, the next segment you'll hear is Doug Peterson speaking to the media on Tuesday. And then after the break, it'll be Doug Peterson doing the same from Wednesday. Let's join him at the podium right now.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Well, how are you?
How are you guys? Right. Beautiful day.
Have you had a conversation with Malcolm Jenkins yet? And is he going to practice throughout this week?
Yeah, I saw him, you know, yesterday. Saw him this morning. You know, he's in great spirits and he's out there. And, you know, expect him to go through the drills and see where he's at.
Is everybody here?
Yes. I had to think about that person. A lot of guys. Yeah, everybody's here.
How big is that?
I think it's huge. Listen, it's a credit to these players. I know it's just short, you know, it's just a short window here at the end of the off season. It's starting yesterday, really. It's a 4-day, you know, 4 days with these three. right here. But it's huge for these guys to wrap up this offseason together. I think this is the most important part of the offseason, really. This is when your team is together and it's the crucial time. But again, it's short, but at the same time, it's where we begin to kind of build and continue building the bonds and relationships that are going to carry us into the season.
Is Miles Sanders ready to practice yet? And either way, how much has he missed by not?
Yeah, I'm still going to hold Miles this week. You know, obviously it's it hurts a little bit that he's not getting the physical rep, but I don't want to risk him any further. You know, we'll wait till camp and get him out there. But he's getting a lot of mental reps. Deuce is grilling him and drilling him in the classroom, and he's getting a lot of mental reps on the field.
You talk about what it's like for players to have everyone in the building, but for you as a coach, how does it open up things knowing that you have everyone here minus the guys who are dealing with?
Yeah, I mean, again, for me, it's the same way. I get a chance to see all these guys, you know, face-to-face in a team setting and really address the entire football team. And, you know, even though, you know, maybe not all the guys will practice, you know, and that's not really the purpose, but just to have them all here this week for me is, it's exciting. And the message that I can send later in the week as we depart and go on into the summer will carry over into training camp, and it'll resonate with the guys, you know, all summer.
Doug, it didn't seem like there's a lot of optimism about Malcolm being here for minicamp. Did you talk to him? Did he have a change of heart, or what's your understanding why he decided to ultimately show up?
You know, this off-season program's voluntary, and he never once said he was holding out, I don't believe. It's no different than Jason Peters and Lane Johnson, Alshon. I mean, you know, these guys are veteran players, and they understand what it takes to get ready, and they've played a long time, and they've been excellent. They're Pro Bowl-type players, and I'm not worried about Malcolm or any of those other guys I mentioned coming in ready to go.
How much do you think it'll benefit him, benefit you and this football team to have that potential distraction just out of the way where you can just focus on football and not have to worry about anything else going on?
I think that's probably the biggest thing is that, you know, just that lingering distraction. And I don't have to stand up here and ask questions and answer questions over and over and over again. To get it behind us now. I'm excited for Carson, obviously, and his family. I'm also excited for the Eagles organization that we were able to extend him. And, you know, I've said this all along that he and I came in this league together, you know, rookie quarterback and rookie head coach. And, you know, we're sort of married to this deal too. So I'm excited. Puts it behind him. He can focus on ball. We don't have that lingering distraction into training camp or into the regular season. And, you know, we can just focus on football.
Doug, how does Jason
Peters? Paul Orlow practiced the first weekend but hasn't practiced since. Is he practicing this week? Did he have a setback?
Yeah, he's, you know, we're just still monitoring him, you know. But he was out there today and going through, you know, the walkthrough portion of practice. So anticipate him going through the drills this week.
How does Jason Peters look? And what is your plan for him in terms of practicing now and when training camp starts? Will you continue kind of intersperse?
Jason came in great shape. He looks good. He feels good. I spoke with him yesterday, and listen, we'll take care of Jason like we've done in the past. You know, I think one of the things Coach Stoutland does a great job of really getting him the reps he needs to get and to be ready for, you know, the regular season, and we'll continue to do that with him.
Does the departure of Joe Douglas change anything for you in your day-to-day?
No.
When both tackles here and Alshon here, you finally get to see your full first team offense, I imagine. What are you expecting to see from them this week?
You know, I mean, listen, it's great to have them all here. By no means are we in, you know, midseason form. There's still going to be some timing and some things that we got to continue to work on. That's why we practice and get ready for camp. But again, just having everybody here in the huddle together, you know, this is the first time that, you know, Big V and Lane are going to work together, you know, on the right side, and then Isaac, who's been here to again start working with JP, and so, you know, again, that's what this time is about, to build those bonds, and you know, just looking for guys to come out of it healthy.
Dave Fipp was talking yesterday, Doug, about the possibility of using Deshaun as on punt returns occasionally this year. I know the season's a long way off, but is that something you can envision?
I can.
How much?
You know, Deshaun's an exceptional player, and he's special, and he's very electric, you know, obviously with the ball in his hands. And, you know, there's times when we use him when maybe you need to get that, you know, that one punt return that can flip a field and maybe put you in field goal position or at least score a touchdown at the end of the game to win. So, you know, we'll pick our spots with him, but even talking with Deshaun, you know he's excited for that opportunity as well.
Doug, how different does this time feel compared to last year? You know, coming off the first Super Bowl in this franchise history, there were a lot of injuries. Carson and Alshon and everyone else, Brandon, weren't really ready to start the season. To have everyone here now, ready to go, focused, and they're coming off some injuries, but does it feel a little different now, like you guys are a little more together?
It does. You know, we're still missing some pieces on defense, obviously, and you know, Brandon Brooks is not out there, you know, with the O-line, you know, Fletcher, Nigel, Darby, Mills, these guys are still working through their McLeod, Rodney, you know, they're still working through their injuries, but still to have everybody in the building and to have everybody here this week to get on the same page is exciting. And again, it kind of goes back to, you know, my messaging to the team as the week goes on, that everybody now is going to hear it, and then we can carry that into training camp.
Anticipate him missing any portion of the season?
It's hard to say right now. I mean, he's, you know, he's doing really well. Obviously optimistic in what he's doing and what he's accomplishing. He's working extremely hard. It's just hard to put a, you know, a definite on that right now.
Speaking of the messaging, you were talking about, do you ever change things up as far as minicamp OTAs, just the scheduling to keep things fresh? Or anything of that nature?
I did a couple things this spring, you know, just to give our guys a chance, really the guys, meaning the strength conditioning staff, to really focus on the weight room aspect, which is a lot of the offseason is conditioning. And so, for instance, if the offense were meeting, I'd had the defense in the weight room, so both parties weren't necessarily meeting at the same time and then trying to cram everybody in the weight room at the same time. Just finding ways to, you know, maximize our time. It's very limited during the week with the number of hours that we can work with our players. Try to get creative with practice, with situational stuff and points of emphasis, you know, with the OTA practices. And but at the end of the day, you know, it's still we have to execute, you know, all three phases and get good at that.
What made you want to cancel the OTA session last Thursday?
So I didn't have to talk to you guys.
You weren't scheduled
to talk. No, I would have been on Thursday if I'd had an OTA. I just think, again, it's important that we spend time together in a casual, relaxed, have fun type of atmosphere. I think it's really important that we do that. Coaches, players, it, you know, for the 4 hours, it gives everybody a chance to really, you know, kind of get to know each other a little bit better. And for teams that can do that and spend that kind of time, I think it benefits you down the road in December and January when you really need to lean on somebody and trust somebody, you know, out on the field.
So many of the injuries.
Alex Singleton was bad. He had like 2-0, bowled like a 2-0-8, I think it was. It's pretty nice.
Who's the worst?
Probably Casey Weidel. Yeah.
So many of the injuries are in the second.
No, it's Chris Nolan. Sorry, it's Chris Nolan. Chris Nolan.
So many of the injuries from lingering from last year in the secondary with the two cornerbacks and Rodney. How much, and with Malcolm not being here for the last couple of weeks, how much of a concern is the overall continuity going into camp in the secondary and not having those guys together?
You know, I look at it the other way. I look at the guys that played at the end of the season. Those guys were out there this spring. So those are the guys that are getting the reps right now, and it's valuable. You know, the Rasul Douglases are out there getting better. Sidney Jones is working himself back and getting a ton of reps. You know, Craven LeBlanc is out there. McKinnon's out. I mean, guys that, you know, Trey Sullivan, you know, young guys, you know, Andrew Sendejo, a new free agent that we signed. I think it's more of those guys getting and maximizing their reps. Even though, you know, Darby and Jalen, McLeod, those guys are getting a lot of mental reps right now. They're also the guys that have been playing, and they understand how to play, and it's really valuable experience for these young guys to get that rep.
Oh, we're done.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, Quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You tired of me yet?
Yes, you're honest.
Not yet.
Good answer. Yeah, exactly. Good afternoon.
What's keeping Nelson Aguilar out right now?
Great question. No. Right now, he's working through a little lower body, and quite frankly, just want to keep as much rest on him as possible right now, and he'll be ready to go for training camp.
How good was it to see Matt Collins out there getting some work finally?
Yeah, I mean it's exciting, you know, and all along he's done a great job this whole offseason with the progress he's made, and it's exciting to see him, you know, moving around and doing some really good things. So again, optimistic about his future.
We saw so long. Why has that rehab been such a lengthy
process? I've never had that injury. I don't know. I don't know much about it. And listen, everybody heals differently. Honestly, my issue with my Achilles is different than Brandon Brooks. So everybody heals a little bit differently, and timetables are obviously different.
Yesterday we saw Jason Peters talking to Andre Dillard between plays during the practice. Is that something you guys ask him to do, or is that all on his own?
I encourage the veteran players at any stage, off-season, training camp, regular season, to, when they're not in, to kind of pour themselves into the young guys, especially when we get into training camp. But this is a good time to see, for Dillard's standpoint, to watch Jason operate and move and really get a great picture of what it's like to be a left tackle in this league, and then when we get into training camp and start playing games, Jason again will be there to help coach him and really be another set of eyes on the sideline for Stout and Roy to really help Dillard's growth.
We saw Ronald Darby do individual work yesterday. How has he attacked his rehab throughout the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, great. As I mentioned, every injury is different, and everybody heals differently, and timetables of each player. But he's done a magnificent job, this offseason, staying here, working through his issues. It's exciting to start to see these guys creep back onto the field and start doing some work.
Doug, a lot of the guys have talked about the energy out there, and some of the guys have mentioned chips on their shoulders. Do you see a difference in them, and does the way last year ended?
Specific about the chip on their shoulder?
A couple guys.
As in,
we got knocked out last year, and we want to get back to that Super Bowl. Are you noticing any of that?
Yeah, and things I kind of mentioned, I think, the other day, that these guys – they were disappointed in how our season ended. I thought that, and they felt like we were really kind of catching our stride again, late in the year. Disappointed on how we finished our season so close to, potentially moving on and being in the NFC Championship game. But, it's unfortunate we lost that game. And I think, guys, kind of it resonates with players, And it was kind of my message at the end of the season, when we were sat here in January, was to, we got to remember these moments, remember these times, because that's what's going to make us stronger in the future. And I've seen that sort of excitement and that chip, so to speak, on the guy's shoulder. And they're working hard, and they're all building towards the regular season. Now, it's a long season. We understand that. And one game at a time mentality. But there is a little different vibe with the guys, this offseason, that's been very positive.
Okay. Malcolm Jenkins confirmed that he wants to have his contract reworked, and that was part of the reason why he wasn't here during OTAs. Do you expect that to have any carryover into how he performs, how he carries himself around here?
I don't think so. Malcolm's a pro, and obviously this is not my area with contracts, but I have no issues with Malcolm from the standpoint of being a leader on this football team and being here, and it shows by his being here this week. I don't expect it to be a distraction, for our football team.
You talk about about a different vibe with this team right now, but I'm curious, physically, do you see any difference from your guys on the field having a bit of a longer offseason this year?
Yeah, the guys are, you know, the energy level, number one. Guys came back, you know, in relatively good shape back in April, and they've worked hard, and you're seeing kind of the fruits of their labor the entire, you know, 9-10 weeks we've been together. And the extra time helps, obviously. It refreshes mind, body, and soul, and that's coaches and players. And so there's that renewed energy that you're seeing at this time.
Press Taylor had mentioned that you guys were recently talking about a situation where if you're down 15, do you go for two the first time? Just what's your process in the offseason for those in-game decisions, when to go for two, how to manage the clock, that type of thing? How do you focus on that, you know, before the season to make sure you're ready for those?
Are we talking week one, or are we talking divisional playoff round?
For what?
For those decisions.
Just to get ready for the season to make sure.
Well, I mean, there's a thing that – you know, again, that's all situational football that I try to put our team in, you know, during the spring, during OTAs and during this mini camp time, even carry it over into training camp. And there's areas that I think talking a little bit yesterday about, you know, keeping things a little fresh for the guys, but putting them in those situations. So we learn from that. We learn as play callers and coaches, but we also learn as players that if the coach makes a decision to go for two or to go for it on fourth down, that the player is prepared and ready to go. But it all stems from, you know, making a conscious effort of, you know, putting our guys in those situations.
So do you have anything like that, deciding whether to go for two, you know, what the math says, why would it be different week one versus the divisional playoffs?
You got a long season in front of you, you know, and week one's not going to define your season. So, you know, it can be a little different that way, you know, but you still have to trust your gut. You know, you do study the math and you study the situations, you know, over the course of, you know, the past, say, decade with the information that's available to us and still make good quality decisions in those areas. And you know, quite frankly, regardless of the week, I was just kind of, you know, throwing a little jab in there.
Is Nelson obviously dealing with this issue? You've gotten an opportunity to see more of Greg Ward, even Mark and Michelle. What have those guys kind of shown you?
Well, first, Greg, he's been here, you know, so he understands our offense, and he's really, and he played a little bit in the AAF this spring, and really came onto our team and into this spring really eager and ready to go. He's a little bigger, he's a little stronger. You know, he's a better route runner, having some experience playing, and he's doing a nice job for us. And then Markin, you know, another young explosive player that didn't really know a whole lot about, and started getting him in the mix and working him. You know, those two guys kind of in that slot, you know, in Nelly's spot right now, and they both have flashed and done a really good job. And you know, it's part of you know, that competition and the depth that we talk about a lot around here, and it's going to be an interesting camp with some of those decisions that are going to have to be made at the end.
So without knowing obviously who's going to be on the final roster, having guys like Greg and Braxton Miller who've been quarterbacks, obviously can throw the ball. You've had guys like that before. How much do you like having guys who can throw the ball who are you know, who have that experience if you want to dial something up?
I think it's you look at all your guys. You know, we find out that Nelly can throw and Deshaun can throw a little bit, and some of these guys, I mean, you can use them in unique situations. And again, this is the springtime. This is where, you know, we get a chance to experiment and sort of dabble in some of these gadget plays and find out who can do that kind of stuff. It does help to have that QB background, obviously. And then if you ever get to the regular season and they're on your roster and they're active, I mean, you always have that emergency QB situation if you need it.
Speaking of the gadget plays, I remember last year, the last day of minicamp, you guys worked in the play you ran against the Falcons, kind of the Philly special look play. How much of those things now are new plays that you're installing at minicamp?
It's not a ton, you know. It's just a handful of plays. We go back and sort of recycle the ones that we've used before, put a new wrinkle on them, try to disguise them a little bit, and you know, the more time on task and the more preparation you have in these plays, it's easier to obviously dial them up in a game or have them available in a game plan. So plays like that, we continue to work each week in our OTAs, and really it starts in phase two when it's just on air, and then in OTAs and now this time. So we're going to continue to do that. It's not a wholesale bunch of new plays, but just a few wrinkles of plays we've already used.
Do you expect Derek Barnett to be a full go by the time training camp starts?
I'm optimistic again with him. I'm not going to put him in a box or put a timetable on him, and I'm going to make sure he's 100% before we put him out there.
In spending this past month with Clayton Thorson, what have you learned about him that you can tell in film? And as a rookie quarterback, are you taking any special interest in him because of the position?
Yeah, you know, a couple things. I mean, obviously a very, very bright, smart quarterback. He moves better than you can actually see on tape sometimes, and his ability to extend plays. Knew he had a really good arm, you know, watching him on tape, and you see that in person. And for him, it's just about understanding and learning our offense. You know, with young quarterbacks, having been there myself, you decision making, timing, accuracy, all those things we talk about can be a little bit a tick behind because you're processing the play. But he's really catching up really fast and has done a really nice job. He's been very consistent. Still a long way to go, but he's done a nice job, and really looking forward to that next phase now once we get into camp. All right, guys. Thank you.
BGN.